Welcome to Dan and Jay's Shitcast. Shit podcast. Pod shit. Shit pod. Shit shit.
What's funny is that now comes out of nowhere since we decided to re-record the opening. Where that was, I mean, not that it was a great reference to what we had been talking about in the beginning, but it was at least there was some semblance of cohesiveness. Now there's zero.
Zero. That's, no cohesiveness. And that's how I live my life.
That's fine.
I mean, with a complete lack of cohesivity.
For those not aware, which is everybody else, we took a break so Dan could hear this week's clip, which we'll talk about up front. We might as well.
Might as well just get the Irish racism out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. Father O'Malley lives in my heart, and I'm still trying to figure out how I can update him because I'm putting him in the new sketch show. I just don't know.
Nice.
There is a quote unquote game to him, which is he's a father who understands nothing about the Bible or goes up there without one, I guess, and doesn't have a plan. I guess.
Yeah.
That's sort of what he's doing.
I think it's partly. I don't think he's read the Bible because at least in this sketch, you're like, I don't know where they got that from.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It's as if you were just looking at this Cliff Notes version and you're like, what? While you're trying to teach it to everyone.
Uh-huh. Good God, the sound quality on that is garbage, but at the very least you can hear there's a lot of background noise, which I believe is Mike. Our friend Mike Shaver.
Making banging and sex sounds.
I wrote four things down. I took notes for this. Sin, apples, gangbang, and Snow White. Those are the four things I wrote down for this.
This is Father O'Malley's 60-second sermon. Hello, my name is Father O'Malley, and today my 60-second sermon. There'll never be a 63rd, and there never was a 61st. But today we'll be talking about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and how we came to be on this lovely planet. Now first, as you all know, he created Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve sprung from a little sprout in the ground. Don't know where I got that garden thing from. And they both ate an apple and they croaked. And that all taught us a lesson not to eat apples. Which leads me to the conclusion of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Without those seven dwarfs, living with that beautiful woman, and they all are committing sin, I must tell you. And there's a wicked witch, and you know something? Oh, no! Is there something happening to poor Snow White? Oh, it's time up. And tomorrow, I'll see you for Maddie's 60-second sermon. Oh, it's 60-second sermon. And thank you, and goodbye.
Sin was something, that's what every Father O'Malley sketch breaks down into. Every time, he doesn't even find a legitimate link to sin, he'll just say something is sinful regardless. Which you know, that's sophisticated satire for a 13-year-old.
Yeah, irregardless. Irregardless.
Okay, hanging up. That's fine.
Shortest episode ever.
Grammar killed it. Our friendship is over because of shit words that don't exist. Mike never really ever joined in, did he? Outside of just making noises.
I think we occasionally made him do an interview.
Oh, okay, probably.
I don't know, maybe.
It was the same Dan videos, one, too. Oh, yeah, right. And when we get to that, that's going to be harder to explain. It's like a super local reference.
Yeah, I know,
Dan
right?
Dan Decker. There's a DJ back home called Doug Decker, and your name is Dan.
Yeah.
Doug Decker, if you want to come on the podcast, you are welcome. If you're still, I'm not going to say if you're still alive, that's rude. If you listen to podcasts, like, he wasn't that old of a guy. There's Doug Decker and Johnny G. Johnny G was the guy I would call in as Cletus.
That's right.
Not the slack jawed yokel, but it might as well have been. I was stealing that, and I was stealing Pat Buttram's voice, and it was a lot of fun. That was the kind of shit we did.
Was Leslie Ann on that channel, too?
Leslie Ann. That's right. She's one of the...
I think she was the token chick.
Yeah, you have to have one. Even in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's exotic. A woman is exotic.
There, a woman on the radio? Holy moly, I'm like in the metropolitan New York City. That's pretty much... That's what they always said.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. Every time. That's not an exaggeration. That is literally how people sound back home.
Verbatim, that's what they said.
Verbatim. Yep, that's exactly right. do you, so, I mean, at the very least, I've never read the Bible. I know you had a lot of Bibles around the house as a kid. Did you ever read any of it? Did you have to read? Did you go to church ever? I don't know.
I went to church, but it's not like I remembered anything. It was Methodist, so.
Mm-hmm. So you did a lot of drugs.
Sure.
Because of meth. That was the joke I was making.
Oh. Nope.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, God damn it. Like, it was so bad it didn't track even after I explained it. Fuck. All right. You're allowed to cut. You're allowed to hang
up. I get it. It ain't funny, but I get it.
What are you drinking, Dan?
This week.
Ooh, yes.
I am drinking Shock Top. Ooh. Belgian white beer.
Oh, I love Shock Top. It's delicious. I'm drinking Session Black, which is technically Jen's. It was left over and was hers, but she hasn't drank it in a while. So this is mine. My delicious beer.
Have you had Shock Top's strawberry ale?
I don't know. Is it good?
Really good.
Does it taste like strawberries?
A bit.
Yeah, that's good.
But not like strawberry candy.
Right. That would be... oh, my God. You should just do like, that. You should say that you're a home brewer. You should get some Bud Light and throw the strawberry hard candies in it.
It's my own home-brewed beer. I call it Budberry. Budberry beer.
It's fucking disgusting. Oh, my God. I would drink it to try it.
But to make it really like a home brew as opposed to just putting candy in beer,
right.
I get like one of those giant... microbrew things, right?
Uh-huh.
Put it on the garage. I fill it with like a 12-pack of Bud Light.
Right.
Throw in a bunch of candies and just leave it there for a year.
At that point, is it considered mead?
I don't know.
Candy
I think
mead.
It's going to be considered poison.
Oh, okay. I think it might be candy mead, a new version of beer.
Yes.
Candy mead. Candy mead, Budberry candy mead. Go Miller's Budberry candy.
Sounds like something out of Harry Potter.
Really does. Oh fuck, that's good. Oh man, you know what? It's I don't know if we have even. I mean, we have to have said your last name at some point, but like we both have very unusual last names. I feel I should bring that up.
Yeah, except that you actually have someone named exactly the same as you somewhere else in the country.
That is true. There's nobody in the world with your name, at least spelling-wise, and I doubt very seriously even another Daniel. Like, we've not come across it, have we?
What, another D-A-N-N-E-L?
No, just another Daniel Gomiller. Have you found any others?
There's hardly any Gomillers to begin with.
But you have a very weird first... What's the origin of your first name supposed to be again? I know we talked about this before.
Celtic? When I looked it up, it's Gaelic version of Daniel.
Okay.
And the origin is my mom was a flower child.
Yes, right. Now, you do put a tilde.
Until I learned that that wasn't how it was spelled.
right. You used to put a tilde Swinton over it.
Yes.
And you don't anymore, just because it's impossible.
Right, it's technically a non-legit character. You don't put a single tilde over two N's.
Oh, right. That makes sense.
But if I put a tilde over each N, it would make it Daniel. Which is not my name.
No, it's not. Although that would just cause way more confusion, especially in the Hispanic population.
Right.
Have you ever gotten anybody pronounce it right on the first try?
I've had a couple.
Ooh.
I know.
That's impressive.
It is.
I've never sat down because I am like this. I've never sat down and Googled just the first name to see others like people spelling it that way.
There are others. That's how I looked it up. I found it's actually a legit spelling.
Okay.
But so not weird. Common.
Mm-hmm. And your brother's first name is Seanan, right?
Yeah.
His?
Yep.
Was Seanan.
Yes.
And, what? Okay, so I'm sorry. Now this is just going to be the genealogy podcast. But But, I feel like that, I don't know. Do you... having a weird name was one of the first things that probably made me start legitimately being a nerd. I don't know about you, but like people either picking on me about it or getting it wrong, my nerd rage would just kick in immediately.
It never really bothered me.
It never bothered you.
Never
God damn
bothered
it.
Me.
Getting goat milker never bothered you. You just...
No.
You let it... I don't know how you do that. How do you let water roll off your back like that? I mean, that is to say, how do you let it roll off your back like water? As if you were a duck. You know what I'm saying.
Quack.
Quack.
But that brings us back to Father Miller 30 seconds here.
It does.
Mike was quacking before he turned into sounds.
Why the fuck was he quacking?
I don't... Because he was trying to disturb the recording. I'm pretty sure...
Yeah. Which is, I don't... I think at the very beginning he was not into it. It was very boring to him. The audio medium is not his.
Well, because there was nothing. He saw no real result. It's like we're just standing there talking into a couple sticks.
Yeah, that's true.
He didn't get it. At least with video, we could then go sit down and watch the results, and we're like, hey, look, there's something we did. We could see it. We're doing stuff. Whereas for him, it's just like we're sitting around a microphone. It's
that's true.
Concerned. Which I think is. Probably a different mentality.
Mike's not big on Theater of the Mind, but we, of course, are merely players.
We live on the stage, what is our mind. All our minds are stage, and everyone is our actors.
You should work on that.
I should work on that.
Workshop it. Go to a local... Get a writing group together to workshop that phrase.
I will do that.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea. Why did my camera just blink and go widescreen all of a sudden? What the hell just happened?
It adjusts for your internet speed. When you get better connection, it gets bigger.
Oh, I see. Oh. That's all I got. I just laughed when you said it gets bigger. What are you doing? Oh my god, are you shooting a laser into the camera?
Yeah.
That's frightening. That looks like... I don't know. It looks like an atomic bomb just hit when you do that at first.
It's like a presentation strength one. It's got a double A battery in it.
And that's nice. You should get one of those Blu-ray ones that burns shit.
And I'll point it at the camera.
Yeah. Melt it. Those are insane.
This is totally not doing anything for people listening.
Theater of the mind, Dan.
Of the mind.
Theater of the mind.
Picture an explosion. A red light blasting through the world. Collapsing and crushing. Speaking of, I found a website the other day.
Uh-huh.
That allowed you to find a location.
Mm-hmm.
And choose a megatonnage of a nuclear bomb.
Okay.
As well as wind direction. And it would simulate the explosion and the fallout.
What? Using Google Earth or something?
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's amazing.
So I found that the bomb from Hiroshima would take out most of downtown Boise.
I would imagine.
But I would be fine.
Really?
But even the large if they dropped the bomb on the Capitol building, which is what I used as my pinpoint. Even the largest bomb that's ever been exploded would go from the Capitol building all the way to 18th Street, but it wouldn't come even close to me, so I'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I don't know what people are making. Go ahead.
The fallout I had going to the Northeast, so that was pretty much wiping out all the parks.
Okay. Wow. I don't know. People are making such a big deal about with Hiroshima.
Seriously, it was hardly anything.
Boise's not that big, so it's like, what the hell,
right?
Historians? Yeah. You know what, man? Here's the thing. Call me an atom bomb denier all you want, okay? But I don't think what they say happened just like... I'm not denying something happened somewhere, okay?
Right.
Okay? But the details are a little hazy.
This is my personal pet theory.
Uh-huh.
And I've been thinking this for a long time.
Uh-huh.
I've read a lot of things about it. I've done my research.
Right.
And I still think this anyway, that the Emperor of Japan was just getting sick and tired of the war.
Uh-huh.
They blew up Hiroshima. Hiroshima is an inside job. But Nagasaki was real.
Right. Yes, of course. Have you seen the video footage of them prepping and dropping the bomb on Nagasaki?
Yeah.
That's scary. Like, it's eerie that there's just some dudes in some shorts just wheeling out an atom bomb.
Yeah.
Right. Like, first of all, on what looks like a fucking cart that I've seen people wheel shit out at Costco on.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, they go and they paint the bomb. Just like, anybody, I guess if you know the science of it, you know that it's not like a sensitive shell casing where if you tap it, it's going to explode in your face or something.
But
yes.
The original atom bombs had no safety.
What?
There was no protection safety, so they could have accidentally set it off.
Oh, that's upsetting.
I was reading about that the other day.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. There was no, like, activating it.
Mm.
It was always active.
So, at any point, the B-52 that was carrying it...
If it had gone down, say, in Arizona, it would have blown up Arizona.
Oh, my God. Actually, it would have been better because it was barely populated back then. I'm just saying, like not that it's okay.
It
would
have just blown up baby Las Vegas. Who cares?
Yeah, right, exactly. When we say these things, people, Dan means them. Just so everybody knows, right?
Just, right, Las Vegas is in...
Arizona. Uh-huh, yeah.
And was just a baby and got blown up by the bomb that was headed for Hiroshima, so the Emperor of Japan made it an inside job. It makes sense.
No, 100%. I watched Zeitgeist 2. I get it. Zeitgeist 2, which is the sequel, which tells how Hiroshima was an inside job, and so was Baby Vegas.
Yeah, I made an ebook about it.
Oh, you did? Is it
unpublished?
Unpublished.
It's just for me.
I've never heard anybody say unpublished ebook before. That's the greatest thing that I've ever heard.
Basically, I just wrote a bunch of stuff in Word and hit save.
Oh, good God. I had some jokes lined up about a chat book, about this and that. No, it's okay, fine. Chat book's a funny word, but you can only use it so many times before it runs out of steam. Oh, unpublished ebook. That's a website. That needs to happen. Like, something needs to happen with that. Man, what would have happened if we... Oh, I don't know if it would have mattered if we had the internet. You know, if we'd have had the internet when we were 13, 14, to the level we have it now, well, at least for me, I probably would have been destroyed immediately once comments were allowed. Like, emotionally.
Right. Yeah.
I was a frail child.
Like, a little bit.
You would have been like, dude, it's okay, let's just keep doing it. I'd be like, no! And I would have flipped out, cried, punched some things, and
it's stopped. All right if they misspelled your last name. It happens all the time.
I should start putting a tilde over my last name.
The whole name?
Mm-hmm. The entire name. It'd be no worse than that name, that last name that I told you about that is a client at the place I used to work.
Yeah.
Which was Fagerger. Fagerger is a good... That's an amazing last name.
It's not a real name. That is a Chris Parnell character.
It is. It really is. But it's comparable to Niebles, which was one of my client's last names at another place.
Was that just his name, Needles?
No, Niebles.
He's like Oh, Niebles. That's right. Yes, Pieber Niebles.
Pieber Niebles, which is not his full name, everybody. Pieber is how we turn PBR into a first name, and Niebles is an actual last name. Pieber Niebles is a character that doesn't really exist that we've applied to. Mm-hmm. Exist. God, this is exciting for everybody listening. This is so good. Why? There's a gangbang in this sketch. Like, I squeeze a lot of things into there.
Yeah, that's what they say at gangbangs.
Yeah. I found a link between Snow White and Adam and Eve that I feel like I've forgotten since, which makes me feel stupider. At 13, I drew a very strong metaphorical line between the evil apple in both of those, and I don't think I've thought of it. Maybe I was like, you know what? I got this shit figured out. I don't need to think about it again.
Yeah, you're like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I have solved religion and Disney.
Yep, exactly, because as we all know, Disney needs solving. You know?
Absolutely.
Did you just spill beer? What are you doing?
Opening a beer.
Oh. It looked like you're opening a beer with a bar rag or something. You're wiping a lot. Oh, now Dan's pouring. Oh, yes, see, there you go. You pour so you don't get too much head on the glass. You should do like in a bar, though. Oh. Oh, that's nice. That's good Foley. We'll put that in later. Not now. We're going to save that you just did now live for later and throw it in later.
Look at that. Look at that.
That's beautiful. No head. You got to slide it across the desk to yourself now and catch it.
I have no way to slide it. I would have to slide it in the direction of the tower, which is full of holes on the top, and I feel like that would be bad.
That's true. You know what? Was there how much media sharing was there on the internet early on besides like us trying to download pictures of anything? Because we tried to download GIFs of like I have a GIF of the Lion King that I downloaded in 1994.
Back then, it was pretty much just pictures, very short WAV files,
okay,
and DOS games.
What were the WAV files of? What
I had one of Donald Duck getting a blowjob.
Oh, I remember that. We should find out who created that. That's got to be like...
I feel like it's internet legend now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the origins, nobody actually knows. It's mm-hmm. probably somebody says that Tim Berners-Lee did it. And, you know. He's like, you know what? I love this invention that I've created. Let's test it. You guys got any ideas? Oh, Donald Duck giving a blowjob? Sure, give
Just
me a
do
second.
Do it. Yep. He was well known for his ability to imitate Donald Duck getting a blowjob.
Mm-hmm. That's why his last name is Berners-Lee.
Yeah. It used to be his primary thing.
Before the internet?
Before the internet.
The World Wide Web, before he discovered the World Wide Web mm-hmm. in a back room somewhere.
I was going to say, is it like Columbus? It's just all these towers and servers and everything they were there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he just discovered
plugged it.
Put a flag in them.
Yeah, plugged it in. Said, look at this. info.cern.nl. Is that what
yeah.
it is? I shouldn't know that.
It used to be engine.net.
It was what?
It used to be the engine net.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And he discovered it and then...
Took it from him. That's why all the servers run on Apache. Long walk for that nerd joke.
That was good. That was solid. I was going to say you get points for that, but now I'm going to sound like Chris Hardwick. And I can't do that. I'll get in trouble if I do that. Man, how many... Well, no, that's not true. In the Father O'Malley sketches later on, you sort of play my monitor, where you're like, we have 50 seconds left, or something like that. I'm still trying to figure out how we adapt that for the new sketch show. Oh, you know what? Today, speaking of the new sketch show, I've packed today very full of things. I'm behind on a bunch of podcast editing, but I did record, finally, the video for the Indiegogo fundraiser for the pilot. Fucking finally.
Oh, nice. Good.
It took me forever. I was having baby fits trying to record it last time, I just couldn't handle it and figure it out. Jen's brother was visiting, so there's a lot of stress. Not because of him, but just because somebody's... Like, literally, the last 6 months, I think we've had somebody visit each month, and it's been kind of weird. and alternating whether or not we're doing shows, which is, my only metronome for life, is if I'm doing a show. But, yeah, finally recorded that, so that's going to go up soon. So that's a thing.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah.
What's the address for that? Do you have a web address for it yet?
Not yet. It'll be on Indiegogo, but I should really just do communityservice.stolendress.com and have that point everywhere. So for right now, we'll say communityservice.stolendress.com.
It does not hurt to do that.
Mm-mm. And I will totally forget later on. It'll be like comsir.stolendress.com. Why no V even? Comsir. I don't know.
Sounds like an early internet provider.
It kind of does, yeah. ComSir. Mm-hmm.
Download your Donald Duck blowjob GIFs at ComSir.
Wait, there was a GIF that accompanied it?
No.
Oh.
I know, you're very distraught about
I was going to link them up in Final Cut and put it on a loop for 10 hours and put it on YouTube.
Which is what you do.
Yeah, that's internet. That is how you make internet.
That is...
You know, it's so weird to me, time wasters are this weird, almost sometimes sought after commodity. Mm-hmm. People like to do them, and so they're still sometimes very popular, but, early on, I feel like it took way more effort to make anything, time waster or not. All our videos, I think, are time wasters, but it took mm-hmm. a lot of effort to put those together.
Well, that's just, that's, you know, technology marching on.
I guess I'm an old man and I'm stating the absolute obvious then, is what, what we're establishing, because really, I just said the obvious. But, like, it doesn't hurt to point out that our first video capture card only captured 320 by 240.
I know.
And I know, cost... How much did it cost you?
It wasn't that expensive. I got it on clearance. It was a bottom of the rack one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably still cost me like $250.
Oh my god.
That's back when I had some severe disposable income.
Mm-hmm. Like cash. That's what I remember when you bought that fucking PC for cash, didn't you?
Yeah, I bought I brought $1,000 cash to Office Max.
That's right.
And bought myself my first Packard Bell.
That was an oh my god.
Which is also a very outdated sentence.
Yes, it is. But like,
have you ever heard of John Mulaney?
Yeah.
Have you seen his stand up? And he talks about, he's like, he's one part where he says, "I was on the telephone with Blockbuster," which is a very outdated sentence.
Yeah, he's funny as shit.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, we are in this very weird crux where it's still okay to talk about like old tech and our experience with old tech, and I hope not to sound too incredibly old to people. But I mean, I think everybody is seeing this kind of god, this is boring. It's not boring, but I hear people talk about it on podcasts all the time. Yes, technology's evolving, shut the fuck up. But we are in a weird time where it's I don't know if it's slowing down or not, but we does seem to be what am I saying, Dan?
What you're saying is that our generation has seen the greatest increase in technology in the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
And so people who are not that old have very archaic things in their memory.
That is true. Okay, thank you. That's exactly what I wanted to say. And you've had more to drink than me? God damn it. That's fine. Don't care. This is good. The rest of the podcast will be... I will ramble and then say, "Dan, translate." Is that fine?
There you go. Yeah.
I will say, "Dan's late."
Yeah, because I didn't get my first cell phone until 2005.
Yeah.
When I graduated college.
I was a year before that, and that was only by what I took to be necessity. I think was necessity. It was also me wanting to feel like I was in Hollywood. Which, yeah, I mean, I was.
I got a cell phone because, you know, I was going to be crashing on your floor. So I'm like, I am not going to have a phone.
Yeah.
So that's I got a family plan with me, Ari, and my brother so that we could talk to each other.
That's right.
Verizon had the free in-network thing.
And you have the same number.
And I still have the same number.
Tell everybody what it is.
It's 555-555. Go fuck yourself.
I don't understand that.
The extra "oh fuck yourself" is for savings.
Wait a minute. So your phone number is only 7 digits long, period. You have one of those early ones. That is, we are old. That's, people don't understand, kids. Before 2000, phone numbers were all 7 digits
all
long.
All 7 digits.
Yep. It was
Klondike. My dad's cell phone number back in the 20s was 1.
Wow. That's good. That's solid. He got the first phone number?
Ever.
Wow. Well, so what happened? What happened eventually when people got phone numbers that started with a 1? They still rung him up?
Yeah. It was awkward.
It was a really shitty phone situation.
If they waited too long to press the next number, they would call my dad.
That is why
he got called all the time. Like, "I'm sorry, we're calling 12. This is 1. You waited too long to press the next number."
Did he also have the email address a@1.a?
I didn't have the at sign.
Oh, okay.
He just emailed dad. And his was dad.
Wow.
He was writing dad in the 2, and it got to him.
And again, if you took too long to write what you were actually meant to write, it would email him.
Yes. Like, if you were emailing a datist, it would go to him if you had to pause to remember how to spell datist.
Yeah. That's he must have, like, an interesting archive of old accidental emails.
If he knew how to save them.
Oh, he didn't.
You know those old father people. They don't know how to computer. Then laugh track and applause.
What show are we on, Dan?
My dad is the damnedest thing.
How I Met Your 2.5 Bangs?
Yes. How I Met Your 2.5 Bangs. I'm pretty sure that is the title of Two Broke Girls.
It might be. Oh, goodness gracious. So much for having Kat Dennings on the podcast, because that was totally going to happen.
I didn't tell you.
That was lined up. I had her lined up for the podcast.
A lot of people probably think they do.
I'm looking at
it. Or getting back to the gangbang thing.
Oh, yes, get back. Right, you're right. That's a good
point.
That's
what this Kat Dennings conversation was doing.
You're so good. I can't... I'm not legally allowed to get on board with what you just said.
Uh-huh.
Because maybe she'll come on the Comedy on Vinyl Pop. But that doesn't mean I have to tell her what you said on my podcast.
Right.
On this part. I will.
She's subscriber number 5, I think. It's coming up. It's coming
up. You think so?
She's going to be like, I'm so bored. She's going to scroll through like 40 pages of podcasts.
Uh-huh.
Just to see what's there and subscribe.
Why is my name tagged in this? Yeah. Why is my name tagged in this podcast along with Snow White, Apples, and Gangbang? I'm really confused. Click.
/ aroused.
That's a weird thing that never... Man, that can be a punchline. That is the word click is a punchline now. That is something that's only happened since the internet's a thing.
Yeah.
Were you ever annoyed or were you not surprised when like comics finally started or TV shows finally started using the internet in humor? Like, again, like the click joke or like, because the first time, well, I won't say the first time, but the stuff that stands out to me because I own all the news radios on DVD is like, they did a few internet jokes where they're trying to do a WNYX website. This is like 95, 96. Like, it was fairly forward thinking. And so I was always usually cool with it, even though sometimes it was kind of already old people-y.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I got annoyed sometimes when people would be like 6 years after and they're finally doing jokes about the internet. I was like, to me, they were too late.
I think the problem is, that shows like news radio and even Saturday Night Live, because they had one of the earliest like internet name jokes. I think that they had writers who had that experience, who know technology. And I think some shows at that time, because it wasn't so prevalent, not everybody used the internet, not everybody had a computer.
I think
some shows just didn't have writers that knew what they were talking about until they were forced into a situation where they were using the computer more, and then they started coming up with jokes for it. They're like, hey, we can make jokes for this.
Sure.
But I think otherwise a lot of people just, unless you have someone who uses a computer all the time, they wouldn't even know there are jokes there. Like, that's why I think it's still considered a classic joke that lawyer commercial on SNL was Chris Parnell with www.clownpenis.fart.
I'd forgotten about that. Oh my god.
Because that was really actually very on the cusp of what was going on at the time, because that was when everyone was like, you know, it was the dot-com boom. So they were like, people were buying up websites left and right, and there were you know, scared news reports about how we're going to run out of website names, blah, 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 and we're going to have to make more new things. And and so that's why they came up with that, because it was getting harder and harder to get the domain name you wanted. So they made this really serious lawyer commercial, but their website was www.compenis.fart, because they ran out of domain names.
It's true. It was really like a long walk for that, huh? But I mean, that's a strong payoff if you get it.
Exactly.
Like, that's one of the early ones that's not a dad joke. Like, that's the thing. Like, a lot of it was dad jokes.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Even a couple on news radio are not that strong, but I was just happy they were there. Like, I'm trying to remember. Like, there's one that's, it's so bad, but the whole episode is in general good. News radio is my favorite show, but, like, Beth says, internet, internot. And I'm like, that's so 90s.
That is 90s really bad. Oh, my God.
It was painful. But, like, a few episodes later, they were doing fucking, like, live web streaming of them doing an alien autopsy, and it was really fucking funny. And, like, you know, they faked, like, shitty static-looking video, and it was pretty strong on a whole. You know, like I said, 95, 96, they're kind of ahead of the curve on that.
Yeah, 95 is when I made my first webpage.
That's true. And that's, that was Red Falcon's
domain. Red Falcon's domain that we talked about with the Pavre background and meta search links and the bullshit.
I remember being so blown away that you could make your own 3D thing. Actually, honestly, for Windows, what was that? Windows still 3 point something or other?
This?
Or 95?
At that point, it was probably 90. Well, it would have been 95.
Yeah.
I wasn't using 3.1 at the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Pavre was, you know, that was pretty much, that was the way you had to do 3D then. There mm-hmm. was no GUI. Mm-hmm. So to do the 3D, I had to write code.
Oh, fuck, so really?
I'm impressed with myself that I was making 3D then.
How the fuck did you do that? How many, do you have those files anywhere to see how long that is? Because that's insane.
No, but it was just basically, like you said, make a square, put it here, make it this tall, use this texture, and blah, blah, blah. It was basically like an extension of C programming. You had to use includes for textures and transparencies. And, I mean,
I remember that now.
Ray tracing is still very popular for really nice-looking things, but now they're built into GUI interfaces.
Mm-hmm.
Because ray tracing is a little different than other types of 3D because it's... It takes a lot longer to do it, so you wouldn't do, like, an animation with it.
Mm-hmm.
But its purpose is basically to recreate the path of light.
Okay.
And that's why they always looked so amazing, but also it was so much work. I remember reading an article about one of the first, like, ray tracing programs that used, like, a GUI interface to show you what you were making. I'm like, holy shit, that's amazing! That would be so much easier! I'm like, I'm making, like, sci-fi scenes with flat ground and cone mountains with tubes and spheres.
Oh my god. It's kind of mind-blowing that we were able to do that at all, because there's always the concept that, like, well, the government has it first, Pixar has it second, we have it third. You know what I mean? Like, there's always... And that's probably fairly accurate, I think. But that we had any of that around 95... That's fucking... That's kind of mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, Pavre was...
Do you still have any of those old images? Because now I want to look at them.
I don't know, because I think that was in the directories that when my dad formatted the computer, he didn't save.
Oh, no. Well...
Yeah...
That's one thing that we have to live with. Although, you know, we have to live with two things with that, and that's this uncanny, like, this amazing ability to save everything we've ever done, and the possibility that we will lose everything we've ever done.
Yes.
At the same time, and that's happened. I mean, I killed two of your hard drives 12 years ago or so. Well, 13, 14, 15 years ago. And I have never forgiven myself, A, for ruining your hard drives, and B, for losing so much of my work. Holy shit. Not that any of it was that good, but I was seriously learning Photoshop.
Well, I lost one big hard drive that I had. In California, that had most of our videos on it.
Ugh. At least we have most of those, though.
But, like, I had that one DVD I made, our stuff DVD, so I can rip the DVD and get the DVD versions of the videos off of it.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I mean, I think I have most of that stuff backed up somewhere, but it's you know, because I'm obsessed with keeping this shit. And at least I keep transferring it from place to place and quadruplicating it.
Well, what I've done now is, this is for you people who don't even know this is a possibility, is I bought two 2 terabyte drives.
Mm-hmm.
They're not all that expensive. They're green drives, so they're a little slower, but they use less electricity. But I'm using it for storage mostly. And I've put them in my computer, and with Windows 7 and possibly Vista, because they're kind of the same, you can create a software RAID. Or actually, I didn't have to do a RAID. I just did a cloning. So basically, I've got a 2 terabyte drive, and there's two drives. And one creates a mirror image of itself on the other as things are saved to it. So if one died, it would go to the other.
Okay, yeah. And I have 2 RAID enclosures for my 4 2 terabytes, so that way... Hopefully, fingers crossed, if anything shits out, I still have it on the other drive.
Yeah.
I think.
So all my music, all my photos, and all on my media downloads, just because it's the biggest drive, are on there.
I really thought you were going to say mootlegs, which are bootlegs that nobody cares about anymore. Like fish bootlegs. Does anybody give a fuck about those? Maybe. There are some people who still like fish.
Yeah, I guess. I like two.
To me, those are mootlegs. Mootleg. I'm going to keep
saying. Yeah, I don't have any of those original pictures. I'm just quickly looking through my thing. They're all gone. Unless you can find them on archive.net. I don't even remember what my URL was anymore. Do you still have that list anywhere?
I might. I will look. Because I did save a list of those at one point because that's how OCD I am.
Because it'll either be on Web Archive or when GeoCities went down, they made the all the data available and people have downloaded it and created basically an archive website of
really?
GeoCities.
Oh.
Yeah. The way it was the day it went out. So, I mean, they put in that 30-day, like, you have to make a change every 30 days or it'll kill your website thing. But I feel like the older sites were grandfathered into a non-restricted thing. I remember some of my sites were still up that I never touched.
That's fun.
If you can find that, you might be able to find
that's
that one
amazing.
Picture.
I'm going to go to the bathroom, which everybody should hear. Not that I'm going to go pee and bring the mic with me. I just, they should.
It'll sound like when I pour
my
beer.
Exactly. All right, so I'm going to go away. 40 minutes. Message me that it's been 40 minutes. And then that way I'll know to cut here.
Okay.
La, la, la.
Oh, God. Can I get home yet?
Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes me by, she passes.
No, wait.
Take two.
I'll remember it. Hold on. Too many beers.
Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes each one she passes goes, ah. When she walks, she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gentle that when she passes, each one she passes goes, ooh. But I watch her so sadly. How can I tell her I love her? Yes, I would give my heart gladly. But each day when she walks to the sea, she looks straight ahead, not at me. Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes I smile, but she doesn't see. She doesn't see me. She never sees me. Hola, que cosa me linda me chea de gra. Ela menina que vemi.
I don't know Portuguese. I don't know how to read that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was like, that was impressive from memory. Oh, shit. Yeah, I was just thinking while on the toilet. Yes, I peed sitting down, in case anybody wanted to know. And I've had some vitamin B today. It was glowing green.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what happens with.
Question: while we're on this topic,
yes.
If you eat asparagus, can you smell it when you pee?
I've never noticed it.
That is so weird. What? Because it, scientists have been saying some people smell it, some people don't.
Really?
They're trying to figure out whether it's because they're incapable of smelling it.
Right.
Or their body processes aspartic acid differently and they
aren't.
That's
funny.
Apparently it's still, science has not discovered it, because apparently why does your pee smell like asparagus sometimes for some people is not high up on the science list. So every time I go, I'm like, Ari, come smell my pee. And she's like, no. Because she and her mom say they never smell asparagus when they pee, but it's always so strong to me.
I don't, you know what, I don't think I have, you know, and I know that that's a thing, and I always accept that as a fact, but now that you say that, I don't think I've ever smelled it.
Because, I mean, it's not like it's subtle.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
It smells like I'm peeing out asparagus sticks.
But what, have you gone and smelled somebody else's asparagus pee?
No, Ari said next time she pees, she's going to make me smell it. And I'm like, first you have to smell mine. And she did. And she said she didn't smell anything.
That's so weird. It, God, so like.
So I was like, waft it, you have to waft it. And she wouldn't waft it, though.
It's got to be some specific hormonal sensitivity or lack thereof that maybe it doesn't mean anything, but it's a very weird kind of mutation or what have you. That some of us need to smell it.
Right, because I was like, I was thinking, like, but if you can smell asparagus, you would think you could smell asparagus pee.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But maybe then somehow like, the way it's processed. Let's get this funded.
When she smells... What's that?
I'm saying maybe we should get this funded.
I was thinking, maybe when people smell asparagus, they don't smell the same asparagus I smell.
It could smell like glue, for all you know.
Yeah, and so, exactly. So, saying you smell this asparagus, but you don't smell the asparagus pee means nothing, because maybe they don't smell the aspartic acid in asparagus.
Right, right.
Because it's a unique smell. So I can't say, does this smell like Brussels sprouts to you? Does this smell like coffee? Because it doesn't smell like anything but asparagus to me. There is no smell other than asparagus. So when I say smell this asparagus, does it smell like my pee? They might say yes.
Right, right. That's a good point.
Or they might say no because they can't smell the pee smell.
I'm now curious what it would
vegetable.
If you'll be able to smell the Budberry candy mead when it goes through your body.
Yeah, the Gomilly's Budberry candy mead.
It's funny. Old with man.
You, man. Old man Gomilly's Budberry candy mead.
Oh, okay. You need to make that label. That has to be the logo for this episode because that's amazing. It has to somehow incorporate the classic, like the sort of like how some mead labels try to look old timey, but also with the classic Bud Light label. Like you have to somehow and then put a little Dan Gomiller stank on it.
Right, exactly.
You know, I was thinking about this while on the toilet. Why would we even bother making fun of religion? Is it because it's a thing that's just typical for sketch comedy? Because I don't think I had a particular view on religion at 13.
I don't know. Maybe just AM radio in the Lawrence, Oneonta area had a lot of religious shows on it.
So that is true.
And Grandma used to listen to them. So sure. I'm wondering if maybe listening to God people on the radio made you think, well, we're doing a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
There should be a God people.
There should be a God people. That's completely reasonable.
Now, why 60-second sermon? I'm wondering, was there one on the radio that you heard before?
I think you were
mimicking it, or were you just like, hey, this is funny?
I know for sure I thought that was funny because I'm like, you can't say anything intelligent or meaningful to the masses in 60 seconds, so I liked the idea that you were condensing. I know that the name Father O'Malley came from Officer O'Malley of the FBI from the, Let's Make a Dope Deal. I know that's where I got the name. That
right.
for sure is that. But the religion, I really do think it was just like, it's really funny that this guy's going to try and condense world knowledge into 60 seconds, and that's why he fails every time.
Right.
And that's the game. And that's why I still think it's funny. I don't know if I could still write it. I mean, again, this wasn't written, of course.
You totally could. The direction you would just need to go would be, you would need to try to... I would come up with fairly reasonable comparisons or ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Something that if you did a half-hour-long sermon,
mm-hmm.
would be reasonable.
Right.
But then you got to get to it within 60 seconds, so there's going to be a lot of one-two-skip-a-fews. So the connections won't really be there, or will be so loose that it just sounds insane.
That's a good point. That's strong. Like, I've been trying to writing it down didn't really help me get there, but that's 100% perfect. I still don't know why, I guess the thing is to keep doing that kind of thing without an audience, it's not uncommon. A lot of people do it. They just do it for themselves and their friends, And I guess that's it. That's just like the bonding of it. It's just literally, let's make each other laugh in the moment, even if we never listen to it again.
That's exactly what it was.
You know? Mm-hmm. And it's so weird that that's so common, even for people who don't end up going into... Mike's been pointing at my crotch for a while. I hope they could hear me. But
your crotch sounded great.
Thank you so much. I've been training it for a while.
That's it.
Yeah, it went to a finishing school for penises.
So you did finish.
I did. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I definitely, there's no doubt about that. I have no idea where I was because that was too funny. I'm sure it wasn't important. I'm sure it was really.
You were talking about friends bonding over
things. Which is really, like, if anybody listens to Comedy on Vinyl and then listens to this, they're like, fucking change the record, asshole. That's all I talk about is bonding over comedy. But it's my, I don't know, it's my favorite thing. It's still, like, being 13 and 14 is one of the few times where in my brain I'm like, if I could go back in time to re-experience something, that's definitely at the top of the list.
Well, I feel like, at least for us, that is an important thing. And I know for a lot of people that is how it works, even if it's not doing comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think about, like, when you meet someone new, especially someone you really like, but they haven't, like when I met Ari, and she hadn't been on the internet a lot,
because mm-hmm.
she grew up in a house that didn't have much internet.
Right.
I was showing her all the things we've done and all this stuff on, like, the internet and everything mm-hmm. she had never seen. And then she would show me things of hers. And it's just like bonding over funny things that either of us had never seen before.
Yeah.
And I still do that. I mean, I still show people, like, you know, I mean, that's kind of what Facebook and especially Reddit is about. Is like, hey, look at this funny thing I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else has to see it, too.
Yeah. I mean, and that's one of those things that even in my own mind sometimes gets marginalized where it really shouldn't. You know, because it's not like like anything, too much of anything is bad, but, you know, it's showing people funny shit on the internet is more valuable, I think, than people probably realize, you know?
Yeah. Because basically, it's like a window into what people enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what they decide they want to show you,
mm-hmm.
especially when they first meet you, the first things that come to their mind,
mm-hmm.
can be a pretty good example of what they're like and what they enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the first thing they're thinking of. It's like, I want you to see this, this, and this. These are, like, probably my favorite things on the whole internet and the whole world. And so you're seeing this, and you're like, okay, this is a window in this person's mind and sensibilities.
Yeah, even if they're not a creative type, because we usually associate it that way. Like, it's almost more revelatory for them to be like, here's this thing where someone's expressing a thing that I don't know how to express necessarily. Isn't
exactly.
that interesting? You know, whereas for us, you know, it's a little different in that it's like, oh, I wish I had fucking done that or thought of that. You know?
Exactly. I think, like, if someone put together a list of books they like to read, I mean, I think that would be really revealing
mm-hmm.
for some people. Like, you know, I'm sure if my boss did that, they would all be, like, books on the Civil War, because mm-hmm. he's a big Civil War buff.
Okay.
You know? And he's got, well, I forget who it is. He's got a hard-on for one of the generals. But it's just like, you know, if he had all these books that were like a biography of so-and-so and the battle of this, like, I could see them and see, okay, he really likes Civil War, especially this person. He likes this aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so it's like, just a list of books could be a look into someone's mind. And so I think, you know, showing someone comedy videos is the same kind of thing, especially if you enjoy comedy,
mm-hmm.
which I think a lot of people do. Oh, God, it paused on yeah. your face. Yeah,
what? Really?
You're making this face.
Let me see it. It's taking forever for me to see it. Ah! That's amazing. I just ate a lemon. Oh, that's so good. Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing is, like, it can be so... It's perceived as superficial by people who either don't know how to share shit on the internet or don't get the value, or people who are spoiled by it and are, you know, comment trolls and, like, nut jobs who don't
yeah.
get the value of what they've got in front of them.
I saw that a year ago. God. Yeah. Find something new. I never... Like, I would never say that it's someone on Facebook.
No! No.
You know, I'm like... I'm glad you enjoyed that. I liked yep. it a year ago when I saw it, and
mm-hmm.
I'll say, I love this one. It's hilarious. I don't say, oh, God, get something new. Get on the... Because people yeah. discover things in their own time.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody put up a Gangnam-style thing today, I'd be like, okay, cool.
right?
You just discovered a thing I loved. I'm not going to call you a fag for liking.
Exactly. And maybe, like, I'll have seen something that's related to it that's hilarious, and if they only just discovered this, they haven't found this yet, so then I'll share a related video, and then it's almost like a conversation in video.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's difficult to avoid those rabbit holes. That's fucking rough. But you know, I remember early on in the internet when shit was impossible to fucking find.
Right before YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was. You had to self-host.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's
when E-Bombs World was like the one of the few aggregators. My God.
That's true, huh?
E-Bombs World and College Humor used to be the place you had to go to get anything.
What was the first viral video that we ever watched? Do you know? Because I remember watching those cartoons by that dude, but I don't know.
Oh, Joe Cartoon was pretty early on in that.
Yeah. And like everybody had to do it in real format.
Was it Monkey Something, but the one with the Napster bad?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That shit was also... Yeah, it was like 97, 8? His stuff? Well, at least the Napster bad stuff would have been 98, but I don't know before that or not.
Yeah, Joe Cartoon was around before then.
Yeah. And everything was probably in real format, which was one of the most frustrating
formats. Well, those two were both Flash.
Oh, yes, Flash. Right.
They were basically, like, watching those made me go, holy crap, Flash is going to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't super common to see things in Flash format.
Yeah. It was, and, well, that was a really kind of world-changing thing, you know?
A vector-based animation plugin, yeah.
And it
was new.
It's changed regular TV animation, too. Most of it's done exactly that same way. It doesn't matter what program you're using.
Exactly.
I still don't know. Is it proprietary, the one they use for South Park? I'm curious. I don't know if that's the case.
I don't think it's proprietary, but it's actually a very heavy-duty 3D animation program.
Yeah.
I forget what it's called. But they use it for the 2D. Except for on rare occasion, like in the movie when they had Hell. Good. And it was so in-depth. It's the same program that they use to animate everything else. Have you seen
So damn funny.
Have you seen the trailers for Stick of Truth?
Yes, I have. Oh my god, that game looks amazing.
I watched a little behind the scenes thing, and it's just Trey and Matt were heavily, and the studio was heavily involved in the game.
That's good.
They wrote the script.
Yeah.
And while, you know, the game studio did the animations, they got the artwork from South Park Studios, and constantly were communicating back with them, saying, does this look right?
That's awesome.
So that's why it looks like you're playing the show, pretty much. It's amazing, wish I had $60 to pre-order it right now.
Uh-huh. No, it looks really, really, really fucking good. And obviously, they're big game nerds. They're big nerds, so obviously it's appropriate, you know? That's
What's really hilarious is that... Have you seen the last few episodes of this season?
It's been a while since I've seen it, actually.
Oh, really? Because they did a... kind of a Game of Thrones parody. I mean, it made fun of a lot of fantasy things, but strongly Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
But it was about Black Friday and consumerism and all that jazz, right? And fighting over PlayStation 4 or Xbox One.
Oh, God.
And so they've got this whole thing. They've got, like, the Red Robin wedding and all this kind of stuff. But then at the very end, after, like, the aftermath of Black Friday, Cartman's like, We don't need consumers, and we don't need game consoles. We just need to use our imagination. We could make a game out of this. And he picks up a stick, and then the end of the episode is pre-order Stick of Truth for blah, 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 blah.
Of course. Amazing.
It was a three-episode story arc about consumerism and Black Friday, and then it ends with them advertising the game that's
fucking great.
It's amazing.
That's pure genius. First of all, how's your beer coming along? Have you finished?
It's all gone.
Oh, that's sad. I only had the... So, this week's sponsors are Shock Top.
Belgian White.
Okay, Belgian White. And Session Black. Ooh.
And Old Man Go Miller's Bud Berry Candy Mead.
Oh, it is just too good.
Is it in the beer freezer or candy aisle?
Mm-hmm. This is, again, this comes down to it. This is always what we do. Like, always, advertisements are funny to us.
It is. It's hilarious.
Every time.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like that thing we were just talking about with South Park. I mean, just it's funny how they have to advertise things and how everything has to be tied in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can, you got to do it.
It's true. It's true. Well, Dan, we're doing this on a weekday for people.
Yeah, I know.
Who don't know. So this is not that it's that rough, but what do you have any final words for today?
I would say my words are sphygmomanometer,
mm-hmm.
pusillanimous,
mm-hmm.
pomaceous,
ooh,
and quandary.
What's pomaceous mean? Is that related to pomade?
Of or pertaining to apples.
Ooh, that makes way more sense. Wait, why is it called pomade? Now I want to know.
It's probably I don't know.
I just realized, I wonder if it's in some way related to apples. Wow.
Because la pomme is apple in French.
Yes, right. And then the potato is apple of the ground or something?
Yep, pomme de terre.
That's right. And that is where pomme frite comes from.
Hey, so does it mean apple fries?
No, that's what I was just thinking. That'd be
Should
weird.
Should be. Old man Gomiller's apple fry candy mead.
Apple fry candy mead. Yum, yum, yum.
Yep.
All right.
We take apples, cut them into fry shapes,
uh-huh.
deep fry them.
Yes.
Put them into bud. Put in some of the strawberry candies.
Uh-huh.
And let it sit for a year.
That's brilliant.
Old man Gomiller's.
So if somebody makes that out there, send it to us.
Apple fry candy meat. Yeah.
And can't guarantee we'll drink it. But
yeah, can you make sure the number for poison control is on?
Yes, please. Please do.
There's a green skull and crossbones.
Yeah, right. All right, Dan. Well, this has been a joy. And
it's been
occasion.
An event.
It really has been. Well, that was... All right, then. Have a wonderful... We don't have a sign-off. You need to come up with a sign-off.
Drink candy mead. It's the best.
Boop. That's a callback. There you go. That's how you end an episode. Fart noise.
That's right.
Dan and Jay's Comedy Hour, the podcast, is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. It's hosted by Dan Gomiller and Jason Klom and is edited by Jason Klom and produced by Maury Povich. The Dan and Jay's Community Service theme song was composed and performed by Brian Magic Hands Madison. Visit StolenDress.com to listen to our other podcasts, read our blogs, read our tweets, watch our videos, and read our books. Please subscribe on iTunes, rate us highly, and write us a shining review. You can like us on Facebook.com/ComedyOnVinyl, follow us on Twitter @ComedyOnVinyl, and find everything in one place at DJCH.StolenDress.com.